Blog Talk Radio.
Waiting all week in anticipation. Welcome to Christian Talk. Hey, Pastor Tisila, how are you?
Hello. I'm fine. I just want to say welcome to all our friends and family from all over the world. God bless you. And I pray you guys are out there doing the work of the Lord, bringing people's many souls into the kingdom. So you have some friends while you're in the kingdom.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, before we go any further, of course, I have to tell everyone listening, call your friends and family members right now. Tell them to tune in. Okay? Call them now. All right? And, you know, and if they don't have the number, you have it. So the number is 646-668-8537. Those of you who are listening, just listening to the program from your computer, just pick up your phone and dial your friend and family member and give them this number, okay? 646-668-8537. Or just click on our picture, the picture of T. Meyer and Tisila. Wherever you see our post, either on Facebook, Tumblr, or Twitter, and LinkedIn, or whatever, okay? If you see our picture in the post, go ahead, of this show, go ahead and click on it, and you can listen from your computer, okay? And if you happen to see the post on Instagram, just go ahead and dial the number. It's the same number, 646-668-8537, okay? Okay, well... we all know that this is part two of our program from last week, but before we get into need I say more? It's time for a TNT moment. That TNT moment is T. Meyer and Tisila. A T. Meyer and Tisila moment. Let's get ready for it. Okay, Sister Tasila, what do you have for us today?
Someone called or sent something that says the question of today is, what is an idol? And I'm going to answer a little bit, and then I'm going to give it to you, Brother T. Well, in the old times, they physically made their idols out of wood, stone, gold, and silver. And I like the way the Lord says, you built your own idol. You brought in the wood, you brought in all the gold and the stones, and then you bowed down to something you built that cannot hear you, can't even speak, can't talk. So what are you doing? It's like being oxy, you know, because you built something yourself, and then you call it a god, and that's so funny to me. But
what's so funny about that is that they built something that they're greater than, and yet they worship the thing that they built.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just interesting. But what you couldn't see about all that is the purpose they were bowing down for. In other words, it was created for the purpose of lust, to consume more of something, whether it was more money, more clothes, more houses, or to be with someone who didn't necessarily want to be with you. You know, sometimes people go in for that too. And, you know, humans lust and place other humans above God, or they desire other humans more than they do the Almighty. Therefore, you have an idol. And everyone knows how, you know, Brother T, how I love me some Brother T. Meyer. And I know everybody knows how we love each other. They do, because we've been together for a long time. But we both have decided that Jesus is first and then one another. And I know that I am second to Christ with you. And you know the same with me. You know, there's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. I already know Jesus is first. I know when you're in your area, you're in your private time, or you doing your sermons, I back off because I already know my place. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? In John 5:31, it clearly says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Why did he make such a remarkable statement out of nowhere at the end of that scripture? He just said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. He wasn't even talking about that, because he knew that idol worship would separate you and cause you to commit idolatry against God. And you could say idolatry / adultery. It goes just like that, against God. An idol can be anything that you desire and lust for more than God. And the Lord says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, that's some strong words, because most people, they don't realize the difference between loving the Father and being in the Spirit and loving the world. And then he goes on to say that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. They kind of understand that, because they see a lot of people trying to keep up with the Joneses, and everything they have, they want another one. They want some more. They're never satisfied. Yeah. You know, sometimes I hear people say, didn't they just buy one of those? Well, it's because they're lusting. And the pride of life is not from the Father. That's what he's saying, but it's from the world. That's part of the world, but we are gotten so used to it. You know, it's like the whole rap game and the whole industry, and everybody is just lusting for, forget about a 60-inch, they want an 80. You know, forget about just the Mercedes, they want a Maybach. You know, I could just go on and on. It's always more and more and never being satisfied. That's what lusting is, and loving the world takes us down a path of idolatry. And it also is just like a fruitless fantasy that leads to nowhere. So the scripture says
right.
to examine yourself, examine your own self and see who your alliance is to. For we are what we love, and we know that. Whatever we love, that's what we are. And true love gives birth to something. And some people have a preoccupation with a love for themselves. They are the idol
mm-hmm.
before God.
Right.
Forget about somebody else. They become their own
yeah.
idol. They
right.
are so preoccupied with love for self, which the world and the devil reinforces and fuels. You know, that's what people don't understand when they're loving themselves. You're supposed to love yourself. I'm not saying that, so don't send
mm-hmm.
me a bunch of texts and say, we have fun. Yeah, you're supposed to love yourself. But when you
mm-hmm.
love yourself above God, that is where the problem comes in. And when you're doing
exactly.
that, Satan will reinforce it and fuel it. But some people
yeah.
are so wounded, and this is a lot that we're seeing that because people are wounded in their souls, which is their mind, will, and emotions, that they have made the rehearsing and licking of their wounds an idol. Have you noticed that? You know, like they have allowed
yeah.
those wounds to be bigger than God. You know, the
yeah,
God we
exactly.
serve, like God can't heal them, you know, emotionally.
Right.
And they make the wounds more than they are. And as they say stuff
right.
like, you don't know what I've been through, but God knows. And every time
mm-hmm.
you talk to them, they are always going back over who offended them.
Yeah.
And when all
yeah.
it is they need to humble themselves and not
Amen.
Allow their idol, pride. Pride is an idol. Do
yeah.
not allow the idol of pride to no longer disobey God and practicing immediate forgiveness to those who have offended you. That's what Jesus teach, you know, to turn the other cheek and practice immediate forgiveness. But there are a lot of idols, and because of the deep-seated wounds that some people carry, you know, I would go around saying hurt people, hurt others. Some people do other things. And whoever doesn't have
mm-hmm.
their phone on mute, gotta help. And some of the things that people do when they're wounded is they use materials to heal and not the Father. Using
mm-hmm.
People
mm-hmm.
also to lean on for therapy and not the Father. And they're using idols of entertainment to heal themselves and not the Father. Like in the world, it's mandatory to worship others rather than God.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Really,
that's true.
To be successful. It's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said earlier, an idol is any person or thing you depend on other than the Father, anything you put before the Father. And, Brother T, I know you have some wisdom on this subject.
Yeah, well,
you
actually,
see it a little different, but...
yeah, well, Sister Tasila, I'm going to just kind of take it even a little further as you from what you were already saying. You hit on so many things. You know, the Lord, besides knowing the heart of Abraham, you know, one of the reasons he separated Abraham was because his family, you know, his father and his brother and all of his kinfolk, they were all wrapped up into idolatry. So he separated Abraham from that, you know. And also Jacob, he told his 12 sons, you know, the 12 tribes from the 12 sons.
Mm-hmm.
He told his 12 sons to rid themselves of their idols. They actually had idols.
Mm-hmm.
So we must understand that anything which includes any person, husband, wife, and children, just like you were saying, Sister Tasila, any object or images, including images in your mind, money, houses, jobs, careers, or cars that is placed above God is idolatry. Let's go in a little bit more with idolatry. What is idolatry? Well, you explained it very well. Idolatry is anything or anyone you depend on above God, anything you love more than God. Anything or anyone you desire more than God, anything or anyone you labor for and devote yourself to over and above and more than God. Let's go on. Anything or person you worship, pray to, or praise in place of God it's idolatry. Idolatry is the replacing, it is the replacing of God with someone or something else, which is the worshiping of other gods, you know, little G-O-Ds, gods. It's written
small
in Exodus chapter 20. Yes, small g. It's written in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. And the Lord just made it plain and simple. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. None.
Yet people have, they are a god.
Yeah, yet people have idols because they need someone to look up to. Idolize and worship. They want people to, they need someone to worship, to idolize. And it's in man to worship, but they turn their hearts to the wrong thing or the wrong people, the wrong objects to worship. You know, people worship and idolize famous people. And the famous people that they're idolizing are idolizing something themselves. For example, many, not all, but many, many recording artists idolize a graven image called a Grammy and gold and platinum albums. Movie stars idolize a graven image called the Oscar and Emmys and other peers. Famous athletes who idolize a trophy, you know, the graven images of a golden football or a golden basketball or any image that represent their sports. And the fans idolize, they idolize the teams. Even in the ministry. You won't believe it. Even in the ministry, there are many pastors who idolize other ministries and other pastors. They find themselves wanting to be just like them. This is idolatry. We should only want to be like Christ Jesus. That's it. Bottom line. Because if you're, because this is God's will for us to be conformed to the image of his son. That's his will. So by doing that, we are worshiping. If we have that desire, then we are worshiping the one true living God. You see, it's okay to appreciate someone's ministry. Really, it is okay.
Yeah, it is.
And there,
it
to
is.
Appreciate, yeah, appreciate their talent
honor.
Or their office. Mm-hmm. Yeah, give them honor. And their mm-hmm. office and positions in life and the way they may carry themselves and their work and their skills and gifts. It's okay to honor that or respect it or appreciate it. But we must keep in mind that people are just that, people. That's what they are.
Yeah.
People with many issues, flaws, faults, and imperfections. They are not God. To lift people up in your heart and mind and put them in a place of God is idolatry, and God is against it. The Lord was against the leaders of Israel when they worshiped false gods in secret. Now, these were the people of Israel that's supposed to know the law. They're supposed to teach the laws. You know, they're supposed to walk upright and follow the laws themselves. But these are the leaders, and the Lord was showing Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 6 through 14, the things that these leaders were doing behind closed doors in secret. It says,
we've heard that.
Now, this
before.
Is what, oh, yeah, even today. Ezekiel said, he said furthermore unto me, son of man, seest thou what they do? And he's saying, like, see you what they're doing? Even in the great, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. What is he saying? He's saying that they are continually committing these abominations that pushes the Lord away, far away from his very own sanctuary. He goes on to say, but turn you yet again. He's saying, oh, that's not all. There's more. He said, turn ye yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. He's getting ready to show him a lot of stuff that's unbelievable that these leaders are doing that's supposed to know the law. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he, God, to me, son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. He digged in the wall, and then he came across a door. And he said unto me, go in. Go in this closed door, and behold the wicked. He said, behold, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing and abominable beast and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. They drew their idols. That was a place that they worshiped idols behind these closed mm-hmm. doors. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, leaders. These were the leaders of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jehazaniah, the son of Shaphan. He was a well-respected leader, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. They were burning incense to their God, their little G-O-Ds.
Oh, the little G's.
Yeah, the little G-O-Ds, the little G's. These were little the G's. Leaders like our, it's a lot like our Christian leaders today. Not all of them now, let me make that clear, because I know a lot of really good men of God, but I also know a lot of not so really good ones, okay? They were like a lot of our leaders today. Many of them have idols on the walls of their hearts, and they continually worship them. Continuing on, this is Ezekiel talking. Then said he, God, unto me, son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chamber of his imagery in his mind? For they say the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, turn you again, turn yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. What, it wasn't over yet? He's still showing more? There's more that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Weeping for Tammuz. Now, you may not know who Tammuz is. I'll tell you. Tammuz is the son of Semiramis. Semiramis was the queen. She was the leader. She created the punishment of the cross. You know, she was married to Nimrod. Say what?
She started crucifixions.
Yeah, she started the crucifixion as a punishment for those who broke their laws, okay? And she married her son, Nimrod. Nimrod was her son. She married Nimrod. She became pregnant with Tammuz. And there you have Satan's trinity, Semiramis,
Nimrod. And she was
Nimrod,
a high-level witch also.
Very high-level witch. A lot of power. Satan was all in this woman. Okay? And so here it is, the children of Israel crying over the death of Tammuz, the son of a well-known powerful witch. Well, people are still doing that in many ways today. Worshiping. This is witchcraft. And they're worshiping it, putting it in the place of God. Another thing that we are not to do not bow down to objects, statues, or any kind of graven image to worship it, like the little fat man that many in a certain religion worship. Exodus 20, verses 4 through 6. thou shalt not make. I have to say it. We call it like it is. You know that, Pastor Tosila. We have to call it like it is. Exodus chapter 20. Chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. He just made it point blank. I'm a jealous God. There be no gods before me. He said, visiting the iniquity, the inward sins, the self-willed sins of the fathers upon the children, upon unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Not on everybody, but of them that hate me, is what the Lord is saying. Mm-hmm. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Yeah. That's why I always encourage people, I even encourage myself, do the best you can. Do your best and God will do the rest. That's what I do. I encourage people. I encourage myself. Do your best and God will do the rest. We can't even lift our own selves up. And you brought that out beautifully, Sister Tosila. And, you know, it's a sin to indulge in self-worship. You can tell when someone is into self-worship because they are selfish. Everything is about them. What they are doing, what they're going to do, what they want to do, and who they are, what they have. They tend to look down on others but lift themselves up high. Everything that pertains to them is more important than anything in this world. Another thing we cannot do, do not say chance. Chants, you know, chanting to false gods because you are actually calling upon demons. You're conjuring up demons.
Amen.
So exactly. Think of idolatry like this. Idolatry to God is like adultery to us. A man would never want his woman to honor and respect another man over and above him. A man would never want his wife to treat another man in the same way she treats him. The husband wants to always be special to his wife. He don't want her to love another man, just him only. And he never wants to be replaced by another man. This is adultery. Even in your thoughts. Yes, and your emotions. It's adultery. It's the same with the Lord. So let's be clear. When we lift up or give our time, our money, our strength, our life and devotion, our praise, our worship, our minds, our actions, and our desires, and even our prayers over to someone or something else over and above God, it is idolatry. The Lord is not playing. He's not playing. And I'm going to end with this. Either he is God of all in your life, or he's not God at all in your life. Amen. Okay, I'm going to end with that. Ooh, and that's it for our TNT moment. Okay, send us some feedback after the show, because you're going to enjoy the show. Or contact us if you have any questions or if you need us to agree with you in prayer. If you can contact us after the program by emailing us. Just send us an email at christiantalkr@gmail.com. That's pretty easy. christiantalkr@gmail.com. We will reply to you. And if you want to, you can put your phone number down and we'll call you. We will call you back, okay? So be sure to do that. Don't go away. I want you to stay exactly where you are. Just freeze right there. Don't move.
Yep,
we'll be right back.
I can't wait till Penny comes back.
I can't either. And we'll be right back with the very talented Penny Ford. Don't go away.
to realize, no matter what you strive for in your present or your past, only what you do for Christ will last.
How are you, Penny?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
You're loud and clear.
You, Penny?
Super. Thank you for letting me share your space. And always a pleasure. And as last time, you guys something to piggyback on. And there was one thing that I don't know if you mentioned in terms of the idols. There was one thing that I noticed being a Kojic kid when I decided to go into secular music. Some people within the body, within the four walls of the church, you know, had a little something to say about that. I expected that. But some of those people who were speaking to me also had food as a god.
That's right. A lot of our people have food as a guy. You knew that's right.
And when you're in Kojic, that's about all you can do that they consider sometimes. Well, back in those days, You know, you could always eat, but they didn't, you know, they didn't consider food a god. And I know for some people that also is a god, but as my pastor in L.A., Bishop Blake, said, if you're going down the freeway and a tractor trailer is heading towards you to hit you head on, you don't yell out, "Oh, cheeseburger," or any of these other gods that people have, like sex, money. Those are also gods that people have. And that's why God said, I shall put no other gods before me. And some people think that that's saying that there are other gods, but I believe that the Bible meant for us to interpret that as these other things, such as money, sex, food, and other people, is what they were speaking about. So thank you so much. That was bringing that good word today.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord for that addition, because that is true. Food is a god to a lot of people, and overweight is really kind of a, and I'm not fat shaming, but, you know, you do supposed to take care of your temple.
Well,
you are
that you should take, because if you don't take care of your temple, where are you going to live? So, you know, but I will say that those people who were coming after me for what I was singing, you know, were not paying attention to their own gods that they were worshiping every Sunday after church, you know.
Right.
Anyway, we're going to talk about that. But thank you so much for having me. And,
well, it's a pleasure
to
hear you back again.
I'll try to get to pick up quickly from where I was before Blog Talk tells me I'm talking too much. but I think I'll talk about my mom, and it's such an important part of my career because I've always let God lead me to where he needed me to be. And once I was there, he's always made provisions for me to do his purpose. And, like, I wasn't like I was sitting there going, well, I think I'll go see what Germany's about. You know, I kind of was put here, and thank God for that, because I feel like I was kind of hidden away from some things that, you know, I may have not been able to deal with very well. So it's kind of a blessing for me to be kind of tucked out of the way from the madness and kind of looking at it from a distance. You know, so I was saying I left L.A. Because I was caught up with all these people and all this stuff and all this dark kind of stuff. And sometimes it's important. I think homelessness is such a massive thing in L.A. right now because so many people don't know when it's time to go home and regroup. Some people don't have it. Where, you know, they don't have anywhere to go home and regroup to. So, you know, we have to pray for them. But, you know, so they stay there, even if they got to stay in a tent, waiting for, you know, whatever it is they're waiting for there. But I went home to Cincinnati in the middle of working. I was doing television. I was doing sessions. I was rolling. But I needed to leave it, you know, and go home. And I thought, you know, maybe I'll take, you know, I'll go to school or something, you know, I'll do something. And 6 months after I got there, my mom had a massive stroke. Now, at that time, my mom was an apostolic pastor. So, you know, when I'm dealing with my mom, not only am I dealing with her, I'm dealing with her gang. Her gang.
Yeah.
Her kind, you know, who sometimes like to me, like, you know, that's not my mother. That's not your mother. That's our pastor, you know. So anyway, we had to thing. My mom, you know, the doctors said that they had done all that they could do. They said she had 8% brain activity. And I said, well, she's not in there, you know. And so I went to the Bible. And it said, first, call upon the elders of the church I went and got these two ladies that that pray harder than anybody I know. I went and got them. My mom's all tubed up and things. And, you know, I was obedient as far as that, but I told the doctors, unplug her right now or I will sue you, because I actually loved my mom too much to risk her being in a vegetative state indefinitely. And a lot of people, you know, when it comes time to this kind of situation, they get really selfish because we want to keep Big Mama here. We want to keep people here, you know, and give her the trach. That's what our church people were saying. Give her the trach. Give her the trach. And, you know, it was just me and God. You know, I couldn't listen to anybody or deal with anybody. And so 3 days later, my mom woke up hungry. And she lived for 6 years. Okay?
Wow.
And it was,
that's phenomenal.
She never left the hospital. But she had, you know, pretty much her full brain capacity, which is a good thing and a bad thing, because it was a good thing because it gave us time to talk about everything, to ask all the questions, for me to get all the answers that, you know, to things that we hadn't talked about, and a bonding that hadn't happened. But on the other hand, she was fully aware that she wasn't able to preach anymore. She wasn't able to help those kids in the neighborhood. So it was, you know, it was bittersweet. But, you know, that was an amazing miracle. You know, the doctors, everybody was, you know, like, what's going on here? But, you know, I know a man. There's a man by the river giving sight to the blind. You know, I know all that stuff.
Right.
And so, you know, I took my mother and my grandmother for 7 years. I didn't sing anything anywhere. I took care of them and their affairs. My mom, you know, had closed down 8 crack houses and turned them into tutoring centers for disadvantaged children in an area that was just about to be gentrified. So it was like going to school all over again. I learned about gentrification. I learned about local government things, and, you know, just as a caveat, I didn't realize that my mom had made some very powerful GOP friends. She wasn't GOP, but she knew how to deal with people in order to help the kids, which was her main purpose. And so at the end of all of this, you know, my mom being in the hospital for 6 years, we never paid for one aspirin. And the most unlikely person paid for everything. My mom's hospital bill, he took care of the family while she was in the hospital, and he buried her. He paid for her burial. He made it possible for her to be 100% service-connected in one day, and did all these incredible things. And wondering if you're wondering who that person was, people are wondering who that person was. It's unlikely person ever. George W. Bush took care of my family.
What?
Took care of my family, put a bunch of money in my account for me to be able to take care of my mom and my grandma. I didn't realize that they talked. And I found, going through her things, I found all these pictures. There are pictures of him sitting with her, her praying with him, him kissing her hand. You know, that's why I'm not really shocked at the friendship that he had with Michelle Obama, because I'd already experienced that with my mom. So, you know, just going through life and the messages that God is trying to, God, what does this mean? God, this is so weird, you know. You know, but you try to get the messages out of that. So I think that in me being obedience, in my obedience and taking care of my mom and my grandma, soon as I buried my mom, the call started coming from over here, like rapid. So I almost immediately started coming back and forth over here until it just became necessary for me to move over here. And basically, I've been touring year-round for 12 years on 31-year-old songs. And I believe that it was my blessing for my due diligence, you know, as a daughter, as a granddaughter. And, you know, just continue to follow God, regardless of where I sing and what I sing. First, I try not to do anything. Well, I won't. I refuse to do anything that brings reproach unto God. You know, so anything I do, whether it's to a secular audience or to whoever, always has a tinge of the biblical in there, you know, even if I have to sneak it in sometimes. But, you know, so that's where I am now, you know, continuing to be obedient through these crazy times where people don't, you know exactly what's happening, but something's happening, you know.
Oh,
yeah. That's right. Something is happening.
And it's weird. And, you know, but God works in all of this, you know. And some people walk around blinded because they don't get the messages. They're, you know, like there's a saying that you will meet that same person over and over again, even if it's in a different body, until you learn the lesson.
That's true.
You know. So,
repeating
that's why I'm quarantining with my cat and waiting on the next assignment from the Lord.
Yeah,
you try to count how many of them. How many is it? Is it one or two?
My cat?
Mm-hmm.
Is it one or two cats?
Right.
Yeah, I have one cat.
Okay, one. Okay,
and
your cat.
Yeah, he's been for 12 years. He's a deaf cat and beautiful. He has one blue eye and one golden eye, and, you know, and it's just me and him and God, pretty much. But it's, you know, I mean, it can be challenging. You know, people here, you know, are trying to do what they can to make money and to keep some semblance of a festive kind of situation going on. But, you know, here in Europe or here in Germany, everybody seems to feel like, you know, in September or so, they'll just shut everything else back down. But, you know, which is fine with me.
Right,
you know,
that's kind of the vibe here, too. It's slowly going towards that also here. Like by September, exactly, a few more weeks. And the kids are supposed to be going back to school. I pray they get to go to school and see some people because they've been locked up for a year and a half.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But, you know, apparently people aren't locked up because they're still flying around everywhere. You know, I try to stay off Facebook. Because sometimes they just take me a little bit out of my element, you know. But, you know, people are, you know, nobody really knows. And what I'm seeing from a distance is there's being another divide created between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. And
that's true.
I've seen some very mean things from vaccinated people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things that really kind of make people who are unvaccinated just say they're vaccinated because they're being called stupid. They're being called, you know,
carrier.
Petri dishes. They're being called all these things. And I don't think it lends itself to, you know, public morale. If they're trying to get people to take this thing, you know, doing that is not going to help. But I just find that people don't have a strong foundation. They don't have a spiritual foundation. So they're just out there floating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just out there floating with their ideas and about life. And, you know, if you understand about faith, then you know, and you're not out there doing, you know, crazy things, then you don't have to worry about you know, you don't have to worry about your fate. You know, your fate is sealed. you know, your fate was done on the cross, you know, and, you know, so many people are, you know, sitting in their houses in these different states. And it's very sad. I continue to pray for the world. You know, we've got flood waters are opening up everywhere at the same time. It doesn't make any sense to me, but God knows. So you know, we'll see what happens. And you just, as long as I, you know, have a friend in Jesus, I'm, you know, not necessarily, I've resolved to not spend my life in a state of worry and angst. You know, it is what it is. You
and
your
fires.
Life.
We have a lot of fires over here also.
Yeah.
That are opening up.
Right. And I mean, you know, it's hard to tell which of it is nature made and which of it is man made, you know, kind of a hodgepodge.
And a lot of things.
They're even making it rain here because we had a drought.
Oh yeah, honey. You know, I go to Dubai, and the Sheikh, if he wants to go sailing, and there's not enough wind, he sees the clouds. So, you know, that's something that's being done as well. You know. I sometimes don't talk to a lot of people about a lot of the things that I see around the world because, you know, it's quick to everybody's, conspiracy theory. Is if I get my information on how to live my life from Facebook, which is insulting. But, you know, I'm out here. I'm actually here. I'm actually watching things and, you know, I'm watching the world. You know, I'm not saying this because somebody told me. And so it gets kind
you're
of
like a watchman on the wall. And when you're a watchman and on the wall, you see things other people don't see before they come, before it even happens. Because you're not just all caught up. Yeah.
True.
And the drama, you actually have eyes to see, ears to hear. You could just like you said, it's going to be shutting down completely in a minute. It's headed towards that, and I guess everybody could see that because they're complaining, they want to make it mandatory that you can't buy, sell, fly, do anything again. They got
I'm
their things that they want people also to be they're going to make that it's, you know, not enough of, like they did with the toilet paper. And now they're going for silly stuff like mayonnaise and eggs and stuff like that. I'm just saying that so people can get their stuff together.
You know what? Spirit of discernment that he gave me, that I'm able to see things and I'm looking at people and talking to them and I'm going, are we living on the same planet? Like, are you actually looking at that and feeling, you know what I mean, and not seeing what's going on? I have to realize that everybody is blessed with the same level of discernment, and some people don't have any discernment at all. They're just flying in the wind. Whatever Dr. Fauci says is fine with them. And so, you know, I can't have conversations with people like that. You know what I'm saying? But it's the world. These things, you know, sometimes happen as a test of our faith. God is working in all of this. I've been able to find the good things about COVID, the good things that I was able to do and think and rest and build my immune system because I actually didn't have an immune system to speak of. I've been working so hard and flying and traveling. So, it allowed me to slow down and see things. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if they're going to be able to shut America down because y'all got guns. You know, it's like, I don't know.
That's state by state. That depends on who's the governor of the state. That's what I noticed.
Right.
that, you know, some are more, a little more lenient than others. Some states have hardly ever wore a mask in the first place, you know.
And
some states are heavily masked.
Right.
What was that thing? Say that again.
I said most states didn't shut down the strip clubs or the sports. I mean, they're postponing the sports when they have to, and that's something that they did over here. They opened up, mm-hmm. you know, pretty much everything for the sports. Yeah. And but you know, we're doing, I mean, pretty good here in Germany. We're doing pretty good. There's no real forced, and in fact, Angela Merkel said that she had no intention to mandate vaccines. It's like, if you feel like you need to take it, that's good. And for God's sake, they're not, you know, giving it to children. You can't get it over here if you're under 50, you know.
Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's here. And there's not a frenzy to take it. If you want to call your doctor up and go, you know, go take it. I mean, they're suggesting that you know, will be a good idea to take it. But they're not, you know, like giving away $1 million in chicken wing dinners and joints for people to take it. Like,
right.
You know.
Right.
You know, and we're
that's
doing pretty good. I mean, you know, I don't hear a lot of ambulances. You know, everybody's pretty compliant. The thing is Germans are natural social distancers. So,
exactly.
You know, they don't be.
They are.
If you see a smiling German waving and getting in your face, it's time to get scared because they don't really get
exactly.
down with that.
Yeah, they're pretty mean over there. And I have witnessed that myself. They're very mean and curt. And to the point.
They're cold and robotic at times. Mm-hmm. And I was afraid mm-hmm. of that when I came over here. I didn't want that to rub off on me. I'm from Cincinnati, you know. I want to be mm-hmm. someplace where people say good morning. But, you know, like there's certain places in you know, in California. If you go, good morning, they go, did they just say good morning to me? You know,
and certain places in the United States, and like New York, you can't get down like that either.
Right.
And
right.
Chicago. Yeah.
Right. But the thing is here, and now I appreciate it because people mind their business. They don't be all in your face like that. I mean, and I'm in a business where, you know, I got 400 people in line waiting for a selfie. You know, that's the only time that they might.
Yeah.
Do something like that as if they're at a concert and they're, you know, seeing, you know. But, you know, I kind of appreciate people, you know, sticking to their
staying
own.
In
not,
their lane,
you know,
huh?
Right, and not injecting themselves into other people's lives as if they, you know, have some right to help them make their choices and decisions and stuff. So it works here, and we're
yeah.
not like tripping, no numbers moving nowhere. 50% of the people are vaccinated. We are masked inside. Anytime you're inside, anyway,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well,
and,
the situation here at Penny is that it's political. It's so political
yeah.
that that's why you can't believe anything. Because it's like, who's speaking,
mm-hmm.
who's sure. saying this, where is this coming from?
Right.
And it depends on the political party, yeah, whose numbers are correct, who you're looking
mm-hmm.
at. Because I think that a lot of things can be handled differently if it wasn't an agenda that each party has. And both of them are at fault.
Look,
both parties here
look what
are
China's
at fault.
Government
right,
is
right.
China's government has just gone up, you know. And, you know, it's arguable that they started this whole thing, you know, and that this virus is a biological weapon, you know. It's arguable,
right.
You know, people want to say that's conspiracy theories, but, you know, it's like it makes perfect sense.
Well,
you know, America.
There's where
building.
The insight comes from again.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
put the numbers together. it's where the,
but
you
now
know,
they're
really
literally
do. Opening. Count it up.
I mean, China is getting busy over there, taking away, killing their people, and they're not telling everybody, and they're just putting, loading up bodies on buses and putting it out there into the river to ride down in the, I mean, it's really bad there. And
it
people
is
are not really
where they're setting bad. Whole buildings on fire. They're putting
mm-hmm.
all the people in one building and setting the whole building on fire. And a lot of people don't realize that. It's. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did that in London, you know. And, you know, I'm here in Germany. Germany wrote the book on population control. And they ain't tripping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Germany set the pace for population control back, you know,
right.
In the day. You know, but everything, I just feel like this is probably one of the safest places I could be in the world right now. Have being around the world, you know, or that you would want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there are places up in Scandinavia, but, you know, they got their problems too because you got the Norwegian cruise ships who are pulling into Norway, which is the cleanest country in the world, but that's probably because they have 73% tax. It's
wow.
the cleanest country in the world. They're protesting because they don't want those cruise ships pulling up, bringing like boatloads of people into their clean country. So it's
wow.
It's kind of going off in a way. I just pray, you know, I hope to God that I'm able to come back to my country, you know, sometime, you know, soon. I would love to live back in America. I just don't know how at this point, from what it's developed into, you know, especially with the gun culture, you know, everybody's so worried about COVID, you know, but that, the gun culture, something needs to be done about that, but that's also politicized and political and, you know,
mm-hmm.
I just pray to God that someday, you know, I'll be able to come back to a whole country. You know, that'd be lovely. I would like to do that. So, on a brighter note, how are you guys?
we be thinking. we think you know, it's a lot of thoughts that go into a lot of things that are going on right now. So we understand what you're saying. And a lot of people are fearful. They're just fearful of what's going on because I was telling somebody today, perfect love cast out all fear. And out of fear, people are doing things that they wouldn't normally do, you know. And we're doing very well. We're you know, staying in love. That's really a key to a lot of things. You have to walk in the love of God right now. And you have to love people, you know, and beyond what you see and hear, you have to love them beyond who they are and pray that God gets everybody to where he wants them, you know. Because it's a lot,
Amen.
You know, to take in. It's a lot for the kids. I feel really bad for the kids because a lot of people are ignoring them. But these kids are, like, stuck on in the cyber world,
yeah.
you know, because they can't
yeah.
get out. They can't socialize. Yeah, they're just stuck in the cyber. And they're emotionless, they're traumatized, and a lot of things is going on with the children that a lot of people aren't realizing. And we know that this cleansing, it is a global reset cleansing,
mm-hmm.
and it's just
mm-hmm.
not for United States. It's supposed to be reaching, you know, in every country and all over the world. A lot of people don't want to see that, but you can't have this amount of people dying unless there's an agenda.
Like all
it's
these floods
something.
At one time, places flood, but everywhere at one time. And I mean, the
mm-hmm.
the floods here came ridiculously close to here. However, we had the most perfect weather. That whole week we had the most perfect weather, not a spot of rain, and then an hour and a half to the west of us were just you know, rivers are flooding down all the way down Europe. So it happens over here. I get disturbed. But I pray for the parents of the children. Trying to raise them in this. That's why I have a cat. You know what I mean? I don't think I'd be able to handle it. You know, but I'm watching them, you know, making these young people, and somebody had a very valid reasoning that, you know, this vaccine or whatever they call it, it could make young girls sterile. And I'm watching them give this to young age kids. And when, God forbid, these side effects come up with that, you know, I'm almost willing to believe that it's something from another planet, because it's hard to imagine with all the despicable things that some people are capable of on this earth. But, I mean, it's just hard for me to imagine that anyone could be that despicable to do.
Well, me too. Originally, it was hard for me, but as it progressed, I started seeing it was reality. And it was an agenda, and it is taking place. And here's something that I wanted to tell you that is a true story of a lady that I know that is in her early 20s that's pregnant. And she was going to the doctor with three other women. She's 8 months now. And the doctors were encouraging her to get the vaccination and the other three women. The other three women decided to get it, and all three of them lost their babies. She decided not. She's still pregnant to deliver. And that is a true story that she was just in shock about. She's the last one, the only one there, you know, and that the four people group that didn't take the vaccination, that her baby survived. I'm not saying anything. It's just the facts of what happened.
I'm right with you. You know, but then you have these other people who are sheeple, you know, and they're so gullible. They're so easily led. But that's because they don't have a foundation to begin with. You have to have a strong foundation in Christ, you know, to get through anything like this, or else you'll just jump right off the edge of the cliff with the rest of the sheep. You know, and I just sit here in disbelief watching, you know, daily what is happening and what people are doing. And, you know, and, you know, I mean, and they're still flying people all over the world. You know, they're going, wonder why this thing is spreading.
And that's another thing. When this thing, because the variant started, and everybody knew that it started, so why are you having all the borders open? Why are you allowing all these everybody to come in and out, but yet we have rules?
And then you guys have people being driven from the south up. You got Cuba going, oh, America, save us. You got Haiti going, oh, America, save us. And you got all the people coming over to Rio Grande every day. And, you know, but they're talking about, you know, focusing on taking a knee. I actually had somebody say to me at a party, at a grill out last weekend, a socially distanced grill out, you know, this girl, I actually thought she was Turkish. And she's been around me for a while. She's been on my Facebook page for a while. I thought she was Turkish, or, you know, her name seemed Italian, but I thought she was European. So I was talking to her real slow, like, what? We finally, you know, we're in the same space. What country are you from? She was like, girl, I'm from Cleveland. Then we just had a lovely conversation about Buckeyes and being from Ohio and this, that, and the other. And then I don't know who brought up Trump, but she went straight into Trump land. like she would have been one of those people at one of those rallies. And she must have felt comfortably with me at the time, you know, because I know how to code switch. I went to prep school, so I know how to put on a little white girl to get through certain situations, you know, and, you know. And she must have felt comfortable with me because she just, you know, she just went into it. She's like, I don't understand why there has to be a black national anthem. This just creates more division. Taking a knee, all this stuff. I was like, really, girl? Oh, my God. Back in the, I was like, ooh. I was like, well, that first, that other one, whilst we sung it, it doesn't really apply to us. Now, we are at a party, so I'll save that speech for another time. So I will take her to dinner and have that conversation with her about
exactly.
Why
yeah.
The national anthem, huh?
Take her off the stage and wait till you get into backstage and let her have it.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to take her to dinner. I'm going to take her to a nice dinner. I'll talk about it.
Right.
I'm going to take it to a place where I can't get too loud. You know what I mean? A controlled environment.
Right,
you know,
right.
Thank you guys for letting me babble on and on. Times here. It is 6:11 in the morning. It's the beautiful time of the morning to take a walk.
Okay.
Productive people are up, the people who are going to work and taking their children. Wherever, I don't think the schools have quite started back here, but they're not vaccinating no kids. I know that over here. They ain't doing that at all.
Well, here they're making a mask mandatory.
Well, over here, oh, they always have been. I mean, in Germany
no,
have
for
a way
kids.
Of... Oh, what, here?
For kids going back to school. No, here
school.
In America.
Oh.
Here.
Or at least in California. Yeah. In California.
Well,
that's
a
big fight.
New York is vaccinating kids right now. I don't know who else is doing what. But New York is vaccinating kids right now, getting them ready as a part of getting them ready to go back to school. I just think it's – but, I mean, we were vaccinated. I took a vaccination when I was a kid. I still got the chicken pox. They put some calamine lotion on me, gave me a popsicle, told me don't sit down and don't scratch. You know?
Yeah.
Because we, as black people, have always, we've always known that the governments don't have our best interest at heart. So, you know, we have had to create ways to be able to depend on our natural immune system and, you know, our faith in God. That's pretty much it. Because, you know, we don't have, you know, those other things. And I don't know. You know, I mean, I had COVID before it was even mentioned.
And you didn't realize
it,
huh?
Sicker than I've ever been. And my ego got to work because I was on tour and I had 4 sold out arenas yet to do on this tour. And I went to a private doctor in London. And not knowing what this, whatever, I just thought my black body done caught one of these, you know, European germs over here that, you know, is not working well. You know, little did I know that 2 years later I'd be still sitting here talking to somebody about this and it'd be the global thing that it's been. But, yeah. Like you said, they're definitely...
Well, you're already inoculated. They're not advising people who had the virus to get the vaccination because you're inoculated
right.
already, and it's not good for your body.
Yeah, I do have antibodies. I have had an antibody test. And the thing is, the sickest people I know, like I do virtual reality. I have a virtual reality headset, and it really saved 2020 for me. And I work out with it, and I do focus and meditation with it. You know, works with your perception and your brain and stuff like that. But it's really, really good. It's really a lot of fun too. It can be a lot of fun, and it's a way to share information with other people as well around the world. But there's a guy, and he's actually from Cincinnati. He's got diabetes. Diabetes has taken most of his sight. He's in a wheelchair. I think he has MS as well. And he, you know, he goes into VR because he moves freely in there. He sees better in there, you know, in virtual reality. I think there's some things about virtual reality that could be developed in teaching levels of autism spectrum as well. But that's another story for another day. But he was talking to me. I hadn't seen him on there in a while because I'm not on there every day. And I said, "Hey, Dave, how are you? I was wondering what happened to you. How you doing?" He was like, "I was sitting here, and when that COVID thing came up, I thought, yay, there's my ticket out of here." He says, "That's my ticket out of here. COVID, they done finally came up with something that's going to take me out of here." He was like, "I ain't even caught that mess. I ain't even caught it." He used an expletive. But he said, "You know, I ain't even caught that. I was hoping that it would hit me." And the sickest people I know, family members that are kidney recipients, you know, and they spend time in the hospital. They don't have it. You know. But, you know, it's nobody knows about what's going on with this thing, but God knows. So I'm just grateful that he gives brand new mercies every day, and he just allows me to know him so that covered.
Right. Yes. That's all everybody has to think that belongs to the Lord. Even we've seen people here, you know, were vaccinated and still died and got, you know, COVID again.
Well, now they're saying that the vaccinated can contract and spread this new variant. So, and, you know, people are acting so shocked. Oh, the news, the variant has mutated again. But that's what viruses do. See, I didn't have any conversations on Facebook. I talked to my friends who are epidemiologists, who are scientists about this. I went to the people who would know something, and for the most part, many of them don't. Many of them don't know what's happening.
That's true.
But, you know,
That's true.
Epidemiologist, I said, "Should I run out and go get this vaccine?" She said, I said, "That's all you need to say."
That's
true.
Because they ain't allowed to really give you one way or another. She's like, girl, I said, nothing but a word.
Yeah, everybody's different, you know, and it's a, like the Lord say, be it so according to your faith, and that's the way I see it, you know, for the people who have faith.
I'm going to visit y'all in California in October, and I certainly hope to get to guys face to face. Yeah, I'm trying to come visit. It's been about 4 or 5 years since I've been to Cali, so it's I'm due a visit, but you know, I'm praying. You know what I mean?
You think you're gonna make it?
Yeah.
You think we're pray that
you can be there. God makes provisions. If I look up and my flight is canceled, I know that's God saying sit back down and relax with the cat. Go feed the cat.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, just look for those little signs. Those
when
signs
you do
and
come,
lights.
Make sure you look us up so we can go eat. We're not going to be gluttons, though. That's what
know,
I want to add
whole,
about the eating.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, fine. Let's go eat. I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There are, I'm not interested in digging a whole lot of people up when I come there. So when I come to L.A., I act like I've never been there before. I'd be like, oh, this is nice. Look at this place. You know? And I actually got just a new tourist. And so there's only a couple people that I will call. And there are some people, which we mutually know, that I love dearly, but probably won't call.
He won't be receiving a call.
Nah,
I heard you.
It's too late. But, yeah, so everything is lovely, and I appreciate you guys, and I appreciate so many of my friends that were able to survive the music business and get a real good grip on God's hands and really, mm-hmm. you know, discover their purposes in God, you mm-hmm. know, so they don't have to be running around out there in a tent tripping.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, things so. Have changed since you sang with Climax.
Lord Jesus, Lord
it's
Jesus.
Different
I know.
Here right
I,
now.
Yeah,
I don't even think
I've
that been, it's a lot of concerts. they haven't even opened
not,
that aspect up yet completely out here. You know, it's some here and there, but not fully.
Right. Texas and Florida, though, they don't care. They have a big concert. You know?
Well, that's a different governor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's more lenient,
yeah.
and he's not, you know, yeah, succumbing to the pressures. He's different. And then we have the kind that we have in California who is kind of anal about everything.
Well, that, yeah.
He really
is. He is. Even about his hair. He seems like he's intense about his hair. You know, anybody that's spending much time with their hair, making their hair perfectly coiffed, you know, they are very intense about everything. But, I mean, you know, it's a global thing. Like I said, China is doing the most over there. It is
yeah.
like, you know, and in order to be trying to start that Stop Asian Hate thing in America, you know. But, honey, they are doing the most over there right now. And they ain't telling nobody about it. They ain't giving
right.
up.
They
the
don't
numbers.
Even give up. They don't give up the numbers or nothing, because it's in the millions. And you know, India is hurting pretty bad too.
Yeah, but they still flying. They're still like at least 25, 30 flights a day, in and out of the UK, which is, you know, when you go to London now, you'd be hard pressed to find a British person. It's all Indian and Pakistan. All Indian Pakistanis. The British have moved out to the countryside. They're all out to pubs out in the countryside. And, you know, those people are flying to India every day, go check on their family, coming back to the UK, and then flying over to the Americas. But I think there's a travel ban right now, some kind of travel ban between the UK. Because, I mean, their president, that man over there that don't comb his hair all the time, he said, I'm just going to open it up. You know, die, you die. If you live, whatever, I'm tired. You know, and Angela Merkel, she's retiring after 16 years. You know, and who knows what this new guy is about. Let's just hope he's not like, you know, of a Hitler mindset or whatever, because I don't know a lot about German government. But, you know, I do know
that's
that.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You
a lot
said
of stuff
he's not of like a Hitler mindset.
Ooh. I mean, you know, I mean,
well,
they,
you know,
don't,
Penny,
they don't. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say,
hello?
Since we're getting kind of, yeah, can you hear me? We're getting short on time.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you
mm-hmm.
if you would pray for some of our listeners out there, even some that are in the music industry or may have been thinking about getting in the music industry, how to keep a sound mind with the Lord or just how the Spirit leads you. Just pray for our listeners.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come to you first giving you thanks. We give you the glory. We know in all things you get the glory. We thank you for brand new mercies every day. We thank you for covering us. Father God, I pray for these young people who, some of which come to music through you. Cover them. There are forces out there set up against them. There are so many obstacles. And Father God, please help to give them an understanding that there is a difference between music and the music business. Cover them, Lord. There are some evil forces. We ask you to bind those forces in the name of Jesus. Touch these young people. Help them bring this back to an art and take it out of the hands of the enemy. Protect them, O God, and walk with them. Give them a wonderful journey in you. Help them to know you. Help them to draw closer to you. And we pray that you keep us all covered during these last and evil days. And we will always worship and serve you, Father God, and be so careful to give you the praise. In the name of Jesus, thank God. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Penny.
But I know a way someone can make a killing if they start a business on the upgrade and the downfall of the music business.
Ooh, Lord.
Teach people. Mm-hmm.
I got a nephew who graduated from Harvard with his MBA, went straight to Wall Street, made a whole bunch of money, and said, you know, I'm Penny. And then he quit. And he says, I think I want to do this music thing. And I was like, boy, not with no Harvard MBA, you will not. Have to be stubborn. I need you to go to grad school. I need a lawyer more than I need you to make beats. But what he did was, you know, and they cute, you know, my nephews, you know, they're too cute for me to serve them up to what I know is going on as the business right now.
Exactly.
But what he did do was he went and did an intensive master's program with a Berkeley Extension here in Valencia, Spain. And he got his master's in how to deal with music in today's digital world, which a lot of our people need to do because we don't even know how to get paid these days. You know, we don't know. You know, this technology world has come upon us very quickly.
Yeah,
no.
Where music has gone to.
Right. We taught the children how to use a spoon, so we shouldn't get no lip if we ever ask them to help us with our computer. But he is now an executive at Sound Exchange, which is one of the agencies that pays us for digital content. And, so he knew what he was doing. I didn't know what he was doing. I was like, boy, you ain't making no beats. Go, you know. But he took his Harvard education and put it into, you know, now you could do music because you understand what's going on. You know, but
until your nephew can make some favor towards Lakeside at Sound Exchange.
absolutely. I try not to bug him too much, but I'll be calling. Sometimes. You know, he's my great nephew, and his mom is the head of HR, which means she's the lead attorney for Prince George's County, which is the ghetto outside of D.C. So she's got her hands full, and they're all doing things, but they love the Lord. That's one little pocket of my family that, you know, I call them super Christians, you know. Always sending me a sermon or used to be tapes, you know. But, you know, they really, really do love the Lord, and it really does show up in their lives. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that really a whole lot. You know,
I appreciate that.
Well, Penny, before we get cut off, we want to say we appreciate you.
We appreciate
Thank
you
so much.
And we're down to 10 seconds. So good night, and thank you, everybody. Thank you, Penny, and thanks, to everyone that tuned into this broadcast. See you next week. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Ciao, love ciao. You. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Love you, too. Ciao. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Good show, Penny.